So this being the eve of Hiroshima Day, August 6, 1945, I'm going to play a an RT. That's from that's a Russian video that station that comes over still on the internet until they stop broadcasting. It's a documentary from a few years ago, which doesn't have everything, and it also there's some it's a video documentary, so you're not going to really be able to follow all of it, but I think we needed to give something of a a salute is not the word I'd want to use, but I'd like to give a a look of sadness and horror at what happened there, and unfortunately how likely it is to happen again with the escalating military budget passed recently by the Congress, biggest in history, as far as I know, and what it produces more military expenditure than China and, I don't know, the top, three or four other nations' military expenditures all put together. I don't think I have that exactly accurately, but it's something along those lines. So let's hear some of it. But before I do, here's a brief summary of the recent 79-10 vote. The Senate several days ago passed the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, $716 billion military spending bill already passed in the House last week. And our valiant Representative Panetta, Jimmy Panetta, voted aye. So stick that in your craw and try to swallow it or maybe spit it out. The bill sets the base Pentagon budget at $616.9 billion, another $69 billion in overseas contingency operations alongside $21.9 billion for the Energy Department for the massive nuclear weapons modernization program, the single largest increase in military spending year over year in 15 years, and the latest in the annual push between President Trump and Congress to see who can outdo the other in spending increases, according to writer Jason Ditz. The bill authorizes the purchase of 13 new warships, 77 more F-35s, and new low-yield nuclear weapons to be launched by submarine. The $716 billion is by far the most spent by any nation on their military, and almost five times as much as the next largest nation, China. So that was the figure I was looking for. Again, I can't vouch for the accuracy, but it's a claim made by Jason Ditz of antiwar.org. The bill also aims, however, on the positive side, to limit U.S. involvement in the Yemen war, as well as forcing the U.S. to better vet the Syrian factions at arms to prevent arming terrorist groups. The bill also includes language cautioning that nothing in the bill is intended to authorize an attack on Iran. It would also bar the delivery of F-35 joint strike fighters to Turkey until a report is based on Turkey's behavior, including an assessment of its participation in the F-35 program, as well as the risks that would be posed by the country's purchase of the Russian S-400 missile defense system. That's Turkey's purchase, I guess. Not quite sure of that. Notably, the legislation would also authorize a 2.6% troop pay raise, the largest in nearly a decade. The final defense bill would boost the size of the Navy and the ranks of the military services by 15,600 active duty troops, matching the Pentagon's personnel request. And lawmakers added two extra littoral combat ships and a new aircraft carrier to the Navy's shipbuilding request for a total of 13 new Navy warships in the coming fiscal year. If the NDAA is signed soon, as expected, it would be the first time in more than two decades that a defense policy bill has become law before October 1st start of the new fiscal year. So, here's this RT show, which was put online August 9th, 2015. It's called Atomic Message, 70 Years After Hiroshima and the Nagasaki Bombing.
In August 1945, two atomic bombs were dropped on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. To this day, opinion remains divided as to the real reason behind America's decision to use nuclear weapons.
There was no possible military justification for dropping the bomb on Japan.
No question that there were those in the U.S. military who perceived the next enemy as the Soviet Union.
The planning in October of 1945 had chosen 20 targets in Russia.
In the 70 years since the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, countless books and films have offered many justifications for and arguments against dropping the A-bombs. However, declassified documents give weight to the argument that the bombs were dropped not out of military necessity, but to intimidate the Soviet Union.
Hiroshima, which you can see in its modern incarnation.
The first ever atomic bomb to be used in war was dropped here on the city of Hiroshima on the 6th of August 1945. Well over 100,000 citizens were killed. Those in the hypercenter were instantly turned into dust, while countless others died from the burns and high dose of radiation they received.
Over 50,000 survivors, or hibakusha, still live in the city. Each one of them has their own story to tell of the day the bomb fell, and I was on my way to meet one.
So which one's the house?
This is the house?
Yeah.
My name is so-and-so. Sorry, it's such a small place.
Mm-hmm.
This is my husband, and this is a... I'm going to be reading you the subtitles, as you can imagine. He is also a bomb survivor. He lost his mother and two sisters, and then there's a picture of them.
Chiyoko Kuwabara was just a 13-year-old schoolgirl that day, and as I was about to find out, recalling those events hasn't become any easier, even after 70 years.
There was no bomb alert, so I thought it was a Japanese plane. We were little kids then. This is Chiyoko Kuwabara. So we just stood and looked at the plane. And suddenly the bomb fell. There were bodies all over the place. There were mothers looking for their kids. I heard children calling mummy, mummy all around. But even when they saw their children's faces, they couldn't recognize them. It was the kids who recognized their moms. I saw one mother. She got a twig from a tree and used it to get maggots off her child's body. The child shouted, "It hurts." But she kept going, knowing that if she didn't, the maggots would become flies. She explained to the child, "I have to get them off." That child died. Because of memories like these that linger in my mind, I can never feel that the war has ended.
I was happy it worked. We had been in a long war. We had been attacked by the Japanese. The Japanese people were not nice people in those days. The policy of the United States government at that time was to subdue the nation of Japan. And I was willing to do anything.
This is Theodore Van Kirk.
thing I could do to help that out.
It was President Harry S. Truman who made the decision to drop the atomic bomb. He'd only been in office for a little under 4 months.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction. What has been done is the greatest achievement of organized science in history.
And if you were looking at the video, you would see scarred and burned faces being shown one after another, some of them children, some of them women.
Peter,
yeah.
How do you think the grandson of the president who decided to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, how do you think he's going to see the legacy of it?
I don't know. What a thing to be born into, though. Your granddad dropped the bomb, which killed hundreds of thousands of Japanese people, and you've got to live with that legacy. So in many ways, you can't really have your own life because of that. So I'm quite excited to see how his granddad's decision has affected his personal life, because after all, he wasn't the one that dropped the bomb, but he's been drawn into this, hasn't he, because of his name.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Peter, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, my wife,
Peter.
Polly.
Oh, nice to meet you, Polly. Thanks so much for coming out to meet us.
I guess you must be in demand with the anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
In August, yeah?
Yeah.
In a good way?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how celebrities, real celebrities, manage this all the time.
How do you feel being interviewed, you know, given your relationship with your grandfather? Has he got annoying sometimes that you kind of, you know, constantly associated, you know? I don't mean that.
I understand completely. When I was a kid, yeah, very annoying sometimes because you're a teenager and you're trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And what you turn out to be for a lot of people is an adjunct to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, your grandfather was wonderful, and I remember your grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, thanks. As I've gotten older, no. It's, you know, there's a legacy.
Yeah.
And you do with it what you can.
So it's a legacy that you couldn't avoid.
Oh, I could have.
Yeah. You chose to.
Chose not to. Yeah, I when I was in my late 30s, I kind of rediscovered my grandfather as a human being.
Okay.
I mean, the history is always there.
With the sense of victory in the air, the Allies were already looking forward to a post-war world by the Potsdam Conference on the 18th of July 1945. Russian-American relations had been fairly good under Roosevelt, but Truman was an unknown quantity to Stalin, and this meeting marked a turning point in relations between the Allies.
Truman at Potsdam did indicate to Stalin that we had a new weapon. He did not specify what it was, and he believed that Stalin did not know. And Stalin's response was nonchalant, which was, well, I hope you use it to good effect against the enemy. What we now know from a variety of sources, including former Soviet sources, is that Stalin knew very well what Truman was talking about through his own sources in espionage.
Сталин понял то, что это очевидно атомная бомба, и то, что Соединенные Штаты Америки они не предоставили раньше информацию Советскому Союзу. Известные слова Трумана о том, что если атомная бомба взорвется, я буду обладать дубиной для того, чтобы показать этим русским парням свою мощь, свою силу.
What's on the card?
Sumi Tanaguchi's business card. And it's got a picture of the injuries he received after the attack.
Sumi Tanaguchi is the business card that's being shown here. I was 16 years old, 2 kilometers from the hypo center. I was just walking and I got the blast from behind. And he's showing his scars on his chest, deep scars. It looks like unhealed wounds. The first year in 3 months, I could only lay on my chest.
Sumiteru Taniguchi was delivering mail when a second plutonium bomb called Fatman fell on Nagasaki. Heat from the blast melted the skin on his back and left arm. Footage of his horrific injuries has become iconic, and Sumiteru is now a living symbol of the suffering caused by the bombs.
My back was completely burned to the bone. Parts of my body hardened, and my ribs were in my heart and lungs. It's still very painful today. In 1959, we set up an organization for A-bomb survivors and started a movement against nuclear weapons. And then I started giving my talks about the issue.
This city wasn't the original target for the second bomb. Fatman was destined for Kokura.
City is Nagasaki.
The weather was too overcast, a bit like today. So the boxcar B-29 changed course and headed to its secondary target, Nagasaki.
Just 3 days after Hiroshima, on the 9th of August, the second atomic bomb exploded with a destructive force of 21 kilotons of TNT and killed over 70,000 of the city's residents. The comprehensive firebombing campaign conducted before the A-bombs had left Japan in ruins. The US already had the country blockaded and cut off from food and fuel.
The US strategic bombing survey that was done at the end of the war concluded that the Japanese would have surrendered even if the bomb had not been
Greg
used.
Greg Herkin, PhD, author of Brotherhood of the Bomb.
That they would have surrendered prior to the November 1st, which I think was the date for Operation Olympic, the invasion of the home islands.
So why did the US drop the bombs?
That's what historians are debating. And I think that Truman was hoping for a dual strategy. One was to try to drop the bombs and hope that Japan would surrender before the Russians got in, so the Russians would not get all those concessions that we had promised them, number one. But number two, and equally if not more important, the Americans were trying to send a message to the Soviet Union.
With each country looking to carve out their spheres of influence after the war, relations between East and West rapidly declined. America realized that nuclear power equaled political power on the world stage, and documents from as early as 1945 suggest that the Allies were turning against each other.
The planning actually in October of 1945 had chosen 20 targets in Russia. Moscow and Leningrad were also included on the target list early on, and as I understand it, just from talking to some of the war planners, the designated ground zero was to be either the Kremlin itself or it was a power plant that was very close to the Kremlin. As the bombs got larger, they would move the designated ground zero to a point so that it would destroy more targets just with one weapon.
This
is a copy of the Joint Intelligence Committee 250 series document. It stated that the USSR was weakened and likely to pursue an aggressive policy against the USA. So a plan had to be made to take these conditions into account. Consequently, it increased the number of Soviet cities supposed to be bombed. These were called the Pincer and Dropshot, these two plans. As the political confrontation between the USSR and the U.S. grew more intense, the list of cities or nuclear bombing targets grew bigger as well.
Point four, within the foreseeable future, a war between the United States and Russia will be the result of a miscalculation by Russian leaders of the capabilities and intention of the United States. And they even got a map of all the different industrial centers in Russia that the U.S. planned to target.
Nagasaki.
Sanai Ikeda is an 82-year-old Nagasaki bomb survivor. Both he and his daughter, Naoko, travel around schools talking to children about the war. Sanai uses cartoons to help him share with a younger audience his experience of the day the bomb fell.
On the day the bomb fell, the weather was good, as was usual for the season. We heard the alarm going off. At that very moment, I saw it fall from the American plane. The bomb was falling, hanging from a parachute. The blast tore all the skin off my hand. And it started to bleed. My mother was thrown 15 meters by the blast. I found Mom, and we escaped together. When we got to the road, I saw a charred human walking along it. The charred man told us that everyone who lived in the Nagasaki was dead. We hurried home, and on the way, met some friends from town. People were badly hurt and had nowhere to go. So they all went to soak in a nearby narrow stream. I found a body in the stream and immediately knew it was my sister. She was all charred. She had no face at all. I found a 10-centimeter ribbon of cloth from her pants around her waist. Outside, it had all been burned. But the inner part of the fabric was fine. I saw tiny flowers on it. That's how I knew the little body was my sister. My dad and I gathered wood and picked up her tiny body, that of my sister, Susoko, and cremated her on land near our house. And so all my brothers and sisters were dead. Only my mother, father, and me were left. And throughout this, you see the cartoons.
I think that the bombs were believed at the time to be necessary. As General Marshall, who was head of the U.S. military during the war, said after the war,
Richard Rhodes, Pulitzer Prize winner,
we invade Japan. We knew we would kill many Japanese, and many Americans would die as well.
That was Truman's justification, to save 500,000 American lives that would otherwise have been lost if they'd invaded the mainland. What I don't understand is how people who have presumably studied the same documents and facts come to such different conclusions about the bombings.
I don't understand it either. To me, it's such a
Peter
clear
Kuznick,
cut issue.
If you look at what the U.S. Intelligence was saying,
if you look at the comments of American leaders at the time, in fact, six of America's seven five-star admirals and generals who got their fifth star during the war are on record as saying that the bomb was either militarily unnecessary, morally reprehensible, or both. You can't come to any other conclusion than that the bomb was not necessary, that the Soviet invasion was going to end the war, that the U.S. invasion was not going to begin till November 1st. So we dropped the bomb on August 6th and August 9th. Our invasion is not going to take place for three more months. Why do we do it? Well, you have to conclude that we wanted to do it.
Back in Hiroshima.
Chiyoko agreed to show me around the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Museum. For her, it brings back mixed emotions, terrible memories of the bomb, but also happy ones from her wedding, which was held in the grounds. The Hiroshima city government has suggested removing some of the exhibits over concerns that children find them frightening. But Chiyoko doesn't think they're realistic enough.
Look at the face. It's too clean, almost stylish. After so much radiation, you'd never have all that hair. Over there, too, that one looks too beautiful. Right under the red ball is the hypocenter. The blast height was 800 meters above that. So many people suffered like that. It's hard for me to see these pictures. Poor souls. I think they all died. And of course, there are many pictures of brutally burned faces and bodies.
Do I regret the atomic mission? I regret we had to do it.
But I think we had to do it in order to end the war with a minimum loss of life. If the same situation existed again.
Theodore Van Kirk.
Exactly. As
the navigator responsible for the Hiroshima bombing.
Yes, I would go on it. I would volunteer for it, as a matter of fact. I'd want to go on it.
And I believe you're working on your own book about the bombing.
Right, yeah, a memoir.
A memoir, with, yeah.
What's your
angle? Is this more of a personal?
It is. It's a personal. It's sort of the change.
Clifton Truman Daniel, who's the grandson of former
like
U.S.
Most
President
Americans,
Harry Truman.
Born in that time and growing up after the war. The bombs were a great thing. They ended the war. They saved hundreds of thousands of lives on both sides. And that's what my grandfather always said was his reason for the decision, to end the war and save American lives primarily that would otherwise likely be lost in an invasion of the main islands. So I went from not giving it much thought at all to being confronted one day with the reality that people lost their lives and in horrible ways.
Japan is still counting the cost of the A-bombs. The government makes monthly healthcare payments to the survivors to help with treatment, not just for the physical effects of radiation exposure, but also the psychological impact. Many of them come to this clinic set up especially for the Hibakusha in Hiroshima.
All survivors of the bomb. The main cause of illness now is radiation. And then, of course, old age. We're talking about specific diseases. They are mostly affected by cancer and heart conditions, according to Dr. Nanao Kamada, president of the nursing home. How long did it take you to do that? If I'm in the mood for it, about a week. Looking at some pictures that this person has created. If not, more like a month. Some dolls and this plot. After the atomic explosion, only three of my colleagues survived. All my other colleagues, some 530 to 550 of them, they all died.
Then
there's the mental illness, PTSD, for example. They have memories of the explosion that they wish they didn't have. But it's still in their minds. Sometimes it hits them with a kind of flashback. To try and reduce that, we do what we can to take care of them. Yokosuka.
After the war, the Japanese constitution was changed by the Americans, and it's remained in place ever since, including Article 9, which prohibits Japan from having its own military. But the country can still protect itself with its self-defense forces, including its fleet, which is partly based here at the American naval base in Yokosuka. Nowhere is the American incursion more evident than on Dobwita Street, or the Honch as it's known by the sailors. It's just a stone's throw from the naval base.
Anytime, baby. I have no idea what that means.
It's the place to go if you want a Navy burger or to go shopping at the Army surplus store. And Rock City seems to be particularly popular among Yokosuka's foreign guests.
Looks like the American sailors are making the most of their downtime here.
Shinken Maburo!
Shinken Maburo!
However, the US base in Okinawa is probably the most controversial. It's home to 21,000 service personnel, more than one in three of all American soldiers based in the Asia-Pacific region, and the locals want them gone.
Okinawa,
Okinawa was chosen by the U.S. Army and became an American colony. Back then, the army just took over the land where we grew crops. They brought bulldozers and destroyed our gardens. They took the land for the U.S. Army's needs.
ですから、私たち県民の土地ですから、沖縄が日本に復帰した時は、平和憲法が適用されますから、個人の主義財産が保障されますから、とにかく沖縄から来てもらってくれと、もともとの地主を支援する運動をしている団体です。
Despite the atomic bombings, Japan and the United States have an amicable and close relationship today. However, no incumbent US president has visited Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and America has yet to receive an apology for the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. Truman lived until he was 88 and stood by his decision to drop the atomic bombs till the day he died.
So you don't think there will be an official apology?
No, I don't think there will be. There's no harm in talking about it. And I don't know that it'll ever be an apology. Maybe the two countries could find language that brings them together to say, you know, we acknowledge that serious hurt was done on both sides, and we own that. And we, going forward, it doesn't feel at this point that it will ever be a flat-out apology from the U.S., to Japan, or the other way around. I don't know that the United States has ever asked Japan for an apology for Pearl Harbor, or that they've offered it.
So what do you think about America now?
Whatever beautiful words or deeds we hear or see from America, I never feel that it is acting with real sincerity. When Obama was elected, he said he reduced the number of nuclear weapons. But he hasn't reduced them. He's increased the number. He should be responsible for his words. And he should visit Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
And pay his respects.
Following the atomic bombing of two cities, over 300,000 Japanese lost their lives. If plans to attack the USSR had actually been carried out, in which 20 cities were targeted, including population centres like Moscow, Leningrad and Sverdlovsk, the number of lives lost would have been in the millions. Fortunately, that never happened, but it did mark the start of a new era, the Cold War.
That was Atomic Message, 70 years after Hiroshima and the Nagasaki bombing, an RT documentary published on August 9th, 2015.
This war is not about peace and freedom. It's about Iraqi oil production. This war is not about peace and freedom. It's about Iraqi oil production. This war is not about peace and freedom. It's about Iraqi oil production. This war is not about peace and freedom. It's about Iraqi oil production and my money. I do not believe
it's the people's money.
My wife can use that money. Every day I like to discover the drugs, and there's a reason why. All of us like to come. Americans should come in the face of Christian, Jew, and Muslim alike. We want to hold our servicemen and come in the face of Saddam Hussein. The Union of the Man and Man is the most enduring human institution. Thank you. I am gay and I come in the face of my dad.
And that was a little bit of Beelzebub from the same disc, George Bush. You're tuned to Free Radio's stream, or perhaps its archive, or even live on the air at 101.3 FM, Freak Radio. If you've got questions about this show, if you'd like to be on the air, if you're interested in free radio or in homeless civil rights, any of those things, give me a call at 423-4833, and I will call you back if I don't pick up, or talk to you if I do.